Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Your SCOTUS nomination edition. Lots to get to, lots to cover. We're going to have Mark Lauder on from the RNC a little bit later on this hour. Pete Hegseth from Fox News at 8:35.
You mean Mark Lauder, the former special assistant to the president and press secretary to the vice president?
That very Mark Lauder.
Excellent. Yeah. I wanted to make sure they weren't confused with all the other Mark Lauders that called in.
Well, you have several Mark Lauder bios.
True story. So I picked the right one this morning. Joining us on the phone, very pleased to welcome friend of the show, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien. So, Jeff, where did you land on the list of 25 potential Supreme Court justice picks?
In terms of my pick, my favorite.
No,
was...
I meant you on the list. What number
on
did
the
you?
List?
Yeah, you were
on the list.
Oh, maybe you were 26.
I think I was tied for 26.
I guess the real question is, Jeff, if you were asked to be on the Supreme Court, would you be willing to move?
Would I be willing to move? Yeah, but would I be willing to take the job? No, because, you know, I get to have fun all day working with, you know, alcohol clients. I got to continue to pollute the state with all the booze, you know, breweries and distilleries. So I think I'd take a pass on that one.
That took a turn.
Priorities. That's called priorities right there.
So what are your thoughts on Judge Brett Kavanaugh? Is this are you surprised that this is who Trump went with?
A little bit. I had heard there was a lot of kind of chatter that he was going to go with Amy Coney Barrett. But in hindsight, in looking at Kavanaugh's credentials, certainly of the final four that he had that were on the short list, Kavanaugh seems to be the most credentialed, shall we say, meaning if the Democrats are going to look the most foolish opposing him. I think he has a long track record. You know, he's a Yale graduate, Yale law graduate. He's been on the D.C. circuit since George W. Bush put him on there. He was Solicitor General under H.W. Bush. You know, he's got his fingers in the Clinton impeachment stuff. He has a long track record of being involved with a lot of high profile stuff, and he's clerked for retiring Justice Kennedy, and you know it's hard to argue that he's not qualified.
He's made some statements in the past that indicate that he doesn't really have an appetite for overturning Roe versus Wade. Do you expect that to be one of the primary arguments that the Democrats make in opposing his confirmation?
That will be one of them, yes. And I think I really do think it's a little bit of melodrama when it comes to this overturning Roe v. Wade, because I would guess of the four quote-unquote conservative justices on the court, I don't think that Chief Justice Roberts has any appetite to vote to overturn it presently. So I think it's kind of a moot point that we're arguing that somehow this is the fifth swing vote that's going to overturn Roe versus Wade. I don't think that happening. I think that Justice Kavanaugh, if he is confirmed, will be slightly to the right of where Justice Kennedy has been, but he's not the Alito Gorsuch Thomas mold.
What will be interesting is when we start going through the confirmation process, is the questions that come from the opposition to Kavanaugh, because, you know, I don't think they're necessarily going to want to take away the talking point when it comes to something like Roe versus Wade, you know. So with that in mind, what type of questioning do you think he's going to end up getting to try to bring about a single vote, or to continue to try to use him as a political pawn to influence the coming election?
You know, John, it's a good question. I think, ironically, I think one of the major lines of questioning he's going to get centers around a speech he gave at the University of Minnesota Law School some years ago, and it was transcribed into the Law Review, where he's talking about giving deference to the president while they're in office and essentially giving them immunity from criminal prosecution absent impeachment. And I think that's going to come up as one of the issues, given the Mueller investigation and Trump's tweet a few months ago that he can pardon himself. I think that the Dems are going to zero in on that line of thought as to whether if an issue came before the court with involving the current president, what he would do in terms of some sort of criminal prosecution. Again, it's silliness, because we're not, we're, you know, there's nothing been that's been alleged that it's not a ripe issue. But I think it's going to be used as, I certainly think it's going to come up as an issue in his hearing.
Well, you know, and you know, being honest, you can't help but wonder how much of that actually did come into play with the decision to choose Kavanaugh, not coming from a place where I personally believe there was any colluding with Russia, but coming from a place of, I don't necessarily trust this Mueller investigation. I don't trust how we got to the Mueller investigation. So, and again, this is all pure speculation, but you know, what if there is a concern that there is going to be some, you know, bogus move forward, try to prosecute the president based off of whatever this Mueller investigation finds, and that perhaps Kavanaugh was chosen to try to, you know, provide a bit of a buffer if that were to be the case?
Well, that's a good point, John. I mean, that is kind of historically the role of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is kind of the buffer against, I mean, I would say it's the buffer against mob rule, which, you know, and democracy run amok. You know, that's the one, you know, stalwart in our checks and balances system, given the lifetime appointments. And so, I think that's a valid concern, that to put somebody on the court like that to have that viewpoint, to question, any sort of prosecution like that, maybe that may have factored into why he was selected. I tend to think he was selected more in terms of his credentials over the others and the comments that he would not vote to overturn Roe versus Wade, or that he gives precedent, credence to precedent, that he's a safer pick than some of the others when it comes to the Roe versus Wade question. I think that was more of a driving force, given that they've got a very narrow window here to get him confirmed before the midterm election. I think they saw him as having maybe a shorter runway to get confirmed than maybe some of the others who might not have as clear a stance on that issue.
Now that we have two Supreme Court nominations from this president, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, can you extrapolate anything from these two picks to sort of give an insight into how President Trump, you know, views the Supreme Court, what he views their role being?
I don't know if you can extrapolate in terms of what he views their role. I do see a little bit of, he's kind of doing almost a one-for-one replacement. So Gorsuch was certainly more of, you know, in the mold of Alito, or of Scalia. And, you know, this Kavanaugh, being another Kennedy clerk, certainly sounds like he's maybe slightly to the right of Kennedy, but maybe kind of in the same vein as one of those guys that isn't necessarily predictable all the time. So I think that he has, if I had a guess at this point, I would say that the president doesn't necessarily, he's trying to kind of maybe gradually shift the court to the right further rather than trying to do it, a sharp turn. We'll see, though. I mean, the rubber meets the road if a Ginsburg, you know, retires or passes away, or a Breyer retires. Mm-hmm. We'll see then where he's really kind of where he's going with the court. But I mean, he already kind of has, you know, shaped out his view, because he's got his list of 25. I mean, he's got his vetted list of strict constructionists and constitutionalists that are going to, you know, adhere to the Constitution's original meaning. He kind of said that a little bit last night, that this is one of the most important things a president can do, and this is the branch that upholds the Constitution. So you can tell that he's looking for justices that are going to aren't going to interpret the Constitution, shall we say, that they're going to adhere to its original meaning.
Now, I know we've got, you know, when it comes to the confirmation process in and of itself, kind of the big question mark at the moment is John McCain. You know, everybody seems to be pointing to the fact they don't expect him to return. Vice President Mike Pence can come in and break the any tie vote that may take place. So if one Republican were to jump ship, there might be a problem. That being said, I believe he'll get confirmed. The question that I have, and we may not have an answer to, maybe we need to look it up, but what type of tactics the opposition can use and the left can use to stall the confirmation hearings. Because to me, it would seem most beneficial for the left to put this off for as long as possible, to use Kavanaugh as a talking point of criticism, like we've already seen just since the announcement last night. Because once they get into the hearings and the questions are put forward, they're not going to be able to go out there and use the Roe versus Wade and LGBTQ arguments the way that they're using them. So I'm wondering what they can do to keep the confirmation from moving forward, just in terms of actually having the hearings.
You know, I don't know what they can do other than trying to, you know, obfuscate and try to corral public opinion against, you know, appointing him. I don't see how they're going to. There's not much available to them absent all the rules that Harry Reid took away for the lower court judges, that Mitch McConnell took away for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So it's almost, I think the...
Not show up? We're not going. We're not going to go to the confirmation hearings.
Right? Well, I saw a video last night. There people, you know, there was a protesters on the steps of the Supreme Court with pre-printed Stop Kavanaugh signs last night. I'm like, God, that was quick.
Yeah.
They must have had signs for every one of the possible nominees, and they had them all ready to go.
They did. They had a van in the back, and they had all 25 of the people on the list and a bunch of signs already made up. So all those.
I want to have their printing business, I guess.
The other 24 signs are going to be sent to a third world country.
There you go. Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, going back to your question about, you know, McCain and the Republican senators, specifically Collins and Murkowski, I think that's part of why the Kavanaugh pick over Barrett factored in too, is I think that there's less chance that Collins and Murkowski peel off and go no. And if they pick, either Pence breaks a tie or they get a few of the Democrat senators that are running in red states,
yeah,
to go along with it, and they'll move this ahead.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, as always, we very much appreciate your expertise. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
We'll talk again soon.
A couple of the articles about this from yesterday and today out of Bloomberg. What will be said about these four Supreme Court justice picks? We'll focus here on Kavanaugh, obviously, because they lay it out in here. They say the truth is the fight over Barrett would be in many ways just a fight over Merrick Garland, focusing on Barrett at the time, Amy Coney Barrett. But the same thing is going to ring true for Kavanaugh as well. Brett Kavanaugh started as the most likely pick. He was the most conservative, smart, extremely well-qualified, a Federalist stalwart. Now being picked, they say that Trump just picks whoever, this is the argument used against it, whoever George W. Bush would have picked, and that Kavanaugh is in the same vein as Trump's first Supreme Court selection, Justice Neil Gorsuch. We're back to Bush again? Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's just who Bush would have picked.
Was that supposed to be a bad thing?
I don't know. Okay. You know.
All right.
They do say after the Garland denial, we've entered a land of pure nomination partisanship. If the Democrats can block, it's hard to see why they would be any more unfair than Republicans blocking the qualified Garland. But again, you know, we mentioned it earlier during Sam's Top 5. We're not playing fair anymore. That was a legitimate argument against Garland at the time of what former President Barack Obama was trying to do. You know, this is a midterm election that's much different than the election that was going on at the time. But again, all bets are off at this point. Kavanaugh went to Yale, teaches a course at Harvard where students love him for years. Clerking for him has been the royal road to the Supreme Court clerkship. He himself clerked for Kennedy, who worked for independent counsel Ken Starr when he was investigating President Bill Clinton, served as an aide to President George W. Bush. I bet you could find tweets where that's brought up, like in a negative way.
Sure.
Just, it's Ken Starr. Right? Yeah. The truth is that Kavanaugh was opposite of Hardiman. He's an insider's insider, according to the article. He's a movement conservative, but not a true ideologue. He'll give us lots of conservative decisions. Kavanaugh knows John Roberts is a great justice, and he has good political judgment. Kavanaugh and Justice Elena Kagan get along without agreeing much. But he'll be ready on day one, and his confirmation won't mean the end of the republic, according to the Bloomberg article.
Not.
Thankfully,
of course not. So when you see, you know, when you see the Chuck Schumers and everybody else stepping up, and Tina Smith and Amy Klobuchar, you know, with they're going to fundraise off of this, and they're going to send out emails and tweets, acting as if this confirmation means the end to everybody's individual rights. Just just ignore it. Just ignore it. It doesn't warrant and it doesn't deserve serious attention and serious consideration.
He has defended the separation of powers against threats coming from multiple directions, repeatedly cautioned his colleagues on the bench not to attempt to play a legislative role, also insisted on enforcing the constitutional structures of accountability in government agencies, has vindicated the right to free speech, to bear arms, and to religious liberty, and has followed Supreme Court precedency even when gently suggesting they should be rethought. I thought it was interesting insight that it was pure speculation on everybody's part, but that so many people were leaning towards Barrett as being the pick. And again, that's... It was thinking more about Trump than it was the actual pick.
Right.
Like, who would Trump pick and why?
Yeah.
That whole, it's kind of a moot point now, obviously, but that whole dynamic I found was really interesting where people were looking at Trump and trying to decide, ooh, I wonder what he'll do based off of what they believe, you know, Trump would do.
651-989-5855 is the phone number, or the hashtag on Twitter is TCNT. Curious to get your thoughts, your reaction to this pick if you want to give us a call. Real quick, we do have some breaking news before we go to break. The last of the boys and the coach have been rescued from that flooded Thai cave. Complete success.
Awesome.
Everybody is out. That's official coming from Thailand, from multiple news sources now reporting that everybody is out of the cave. So that is fantastic news. They managed to get everybody out and everybody out safely. Now, you know, the question I have is, this cave was off limits.
Oh.
And when you think about, you know, the lives lost in the rescue efforts and the millions of dollars and resources that have been spent to rescue these boys, should there be any repercussions on this coach?
Now, hold on. I'm going to eBay. I want to see if there's an electric submarine that's up for sale.
651-989-5855. We'll be right back. Justice.